Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Go.
Wow.
Where will that Blackbird be? It's Bristol Bears we're doing on the preview podcast on this episode. Thank you very much for listening.
Yeah, that was a song from Happier Times, the Bristol Bears.
Well, we'll get into that. I love the club. I love the city. I used to work there, and I love that they add L's into words unnecessarily. Like, hey, mate, do you want anything? I'm going down Asdals. I don't know why they do that in Bristol.
I will say I'm very fond of Bristol too.
You spent a bit of time there, didn't you?
2 years. 2 years in Bristol. Yeah.
Two fantastic years,
which I really want to forget.
You got a lot of love for Bristol, JB.
I love the city, though. I think it's brilliant.
It is a cool city.
I do like the people too. I love the rugby there.
And they love their rugby.
Yeah. Literally, when I was picking my universities, this is no word of a lie, I picked it based on Premiership rugby teams. So I could go and watch. I had no Premiership rugby growing up. I always just wanted to
watch. Who was in the Bristol team at the time? Was it Gus Peashot?
You asked.
Contopomi.
Yeah, Andrew Sheridan. Phil Pispers, yes. Was about. Gareth Sternham probably was at the end of his thing.
Ben Sternham,
sorry.
Gareth Archer
was the one I was thinking of then. Was there...
Jason Little?
No, Jason Little might have gone to Gloucester by then.
Okay.
He might have gone to Gloucester. Who was the hooker who has been there for absolutely forever?
Mark Regan.
I'm sure he was about...
I'm just looking at a team from 2005.
Yeah, it's an impressive team.
David Lemmy and Brian Lima in
yes.
the back line.
Oh, wow, I love it.
Jason Strange at fly half. Sean Perry. Mark Regan.
No, this wasn't when I was in university. I was a team afterwards.
This is 2005.
Yes.
That's just after that period.
Dan Ward Smith.
One of my favourite players. Joel Abb. Good mate.
Yeah.
I said who was that.
Rob Higgett.
No, he might have been the one. Jason, the prop, the man, not Jason. What the hell is that? What, Justin, someone, a huge prop player of Leicester.
Julian White.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Phil Christopher. So this is from 2002. Bristol 38, Leicester Tigers 21 from 2002. Andrew Higgins and Jason Little. Phil Christopher's on the wing. Felipe Contopomi with Augustine Pichot. Julian White, tight head prop. Gareth Archer and Alex Brown. Michael Littman playing open side. Tim Payne on the bench as a prop.
Yeah, they were very, very good. Well, they were
good team.
Yeah, so I moved to Bristol purely to watch Premiership rugby. I only went to one game because I didn't realise as a student it's bloody expensive to watch Premiership rugby. I couldn't afford to watch it. And then they got relegated. So they were the Bristol Shoguns at the time. And then they got relegated, and they played in the Memorial Ground, and it was great. In the Memorial Ground?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Bristol City play. Bristol Rovers, sorry. Edward Whittaker is one of the people that's emailed. I'm going to use this as a little skeleton to go through our preview of Bristol Bears' upcoming season. And thank you for your email, Ed. Contact edchasers@gmail.com. Ed says, good afternoon, gents. Good morning, afternoon, evening, whenever it is. I know you hate pleasantries, so I'd like to point out that as a Bears fan, I get minimal enjoyment from your podcast. and mainly listen in the hope that JB one day eats humble pie regarding Bristol. although his ability to manipulate a narrative around any eventuality makes those chances few and far between. He really does listen. As fans of most clubs will probably be feeling during pre-season, I'm fairly positive about how Bristol Bears are looking. More movement in and out than previous seasons, which is to be expected with the amount of time Lamb has been there and the results last season. 11 players heading out, probably only 5 genuine frontline squad members though, in Afoa, Leua, Atwood, Hughes and Frisch. And the others he mentions are Edie, Eden, Adiolokan, Strang. Yeah, so he's right. Those are the 5 ones. He says, what we'll miss from the above is a bit of leadership and system knowledge from Leua, Afoa and Atwood, plus ability to get over the game line, which has been a struggle for us at times and stopped us from effectively unleashing our wide game.
Hang on, where's Atwood? Is he at Bath again?
Back to Bath.
I am, however, positive in that the new recruits we have got, the losses covered, plus strengthened in both of those areas, leadership and gain line. And he cites Ellis Genge. He says, in my opinion, the missing piece. Our senior leaders, including Luatua, Shidi, Piatau, plus the departing Afoa and Atwood, are all excellent players and carry out Lamb's plan verbatim, but they give off the impression of being very nice blokes. I'm sure they're horrible to play against, and I'm possibly completely wrong, but it's the vibe we give off.
Mm.
Genge is a proven leader, as well as a genuinely world-class player who has an ingrained, brackets, JB trigger warning, love for the club and the city. He could be the character to challenge the players and Lamb to keep the Bears' style of play, but demand it is done with an edge and a bite when required. We might see him on the pitch a maximum of 11 times this season, but I still think the effect will be felt from his presence in training alone. So far on what Ed said, players in and out, and he cited Genge as being potentially game-changing for Bristol.
Absolutely, but not in the way he thinks. I think Genge is one of the smarter guys in all of rugby, actually. And I cannot imagine the antics of Pat Lamb going down well with Ellis Genge. And not only that, you know, you think about where Ellis Genge has come from. He's come from a system in Leicester where, under Borthwick, he's probably had some of the best leadership you can have in rugby. Nobody argues or questions what Borthwick is doing because it's so obvious that he is right and he is somewhat a rugby savant. The Pat Lamb experiment looks to me like, kind of the Emperor's got no clothes. And I think someone like Ellis Genge would not think twice about calling that out. And at the moment, what Pat Lamb has is a fairly compliant squad, and he does completely run the roost there. I'm not sure he will continue to do so with a guy like Ellis Genge. I don't think it's a good signing. I don't think it's a good cultural fit in the slightest.
The flip side is if Genge and Lamb have a great relationship, and then Lamb can step back a little bit more.
Maybe, but I don't see Pat Lamb being that guy. I think he likes to be in the front and centre of everything. The guy likes to control everything. It's going to be very, very tricky to see how this goes. What I will say, though, is Ellis Genge is a great signing, just on the face of it.
Depends.
He's a great player. But
the point you always make is he's a great signing, but at what price?
Yes.
If he's taking 10% of your available cap, is any player worth 10% of your available cap when you've got a manager squad of 30-plus players? Especially when he's ineligible to be a marquee player.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point.
Now, I think Ellis Genge is one of the best loose heads in the world. And he does things that no other loose head... I can't ever recall any other loose head being put as a kick returner on an international game. Never.
I just worry that he says it much like it is. So under... Under Borthwick, say, if one of the players is kind of just not on point or not giving it his all, that guy is going to get it from both barrels from Genge because, he just isn't doing what he needs to do. But I'm pretty sure the coach would get it from both barrels if the coach wasn't doing exactly as he meant to do, and this is the problem that they have. So
Do you think Ellis Genge is a bit more of a... he's deeds, not words?
I think it's both. I really think it's both. I mean, what I like about him is during the players' salary cut, he was one of the guys who said, no, we don't need to do this. He is deeds, but he's also words. He does what he says for the most part.
If they can get the best out of him, it's a brilliant signing. I do just wonder, like with Kyle Sinclair, who's also an excellent, excellent prop. But just in those two, you got 20% of your salary cap is just on those two players.
Imagine if Ellis Genge starts using the services of Saviour World.
I can't.
It'd be too. Now that is, I would pay money to watch Ellis Genge have a session with Saviour World. What, mate?
Oh dear,
mate! I've been breathing my whole life. I don't need you to tell me how.
Wow, another signing. What have they written about AJ?
Well, that's the very next paragraph in Ed's email. AJ will also bring leadership and an experienced voice to challenge the status quo. Sheedy has pretty much been unchallenged for his shirt and will hopefully benefit from the competition. That's a really good point, that. A really good point. I don't know who will be starting 10, but it'll be AJ. It'll be AJ.
Money plays, isn't it?
It's not even money plays. It'll be AJ.
I think it probably will be. Sheedy a couple of years ago was looking brilliant, but I mean, you're only as good.
Three or four Welsh caps, didn't he?
Yeah, but you're only as good as the team around you.
That's true.
And the team around him hasn't been performing, ergo he hasn't been performing.
The other thing about them as well is they are both out and out fly halves. I mean, I would not put
They're total fly halves. Yeah,
anywhere on a field other than fly half.
Yeah. Sheedy was very good, but he was he was very good, but he was just a system. He just delivered the system. He was a system fly half. I think AJ will be the playmaking leader a little bit more.
It'll be interesting.
He'll know when it's on. He'll nudge the ball to the corner when it needs to be done, and then when it is on, and you've got players like Randranda and Pietau or whatever, he'll let it go.
Yeah, I think a lot of the systems that AJ will be better in. It doesn't strike me necessarily it will be Pat Lamb's. But there again, he has worked with Pat Lamb in Connacht. They do know each other. I suspect he'll be fine. They must have some sort of prior knowledge. But on the face of it, if you think about Bristol's running game, the weakness in AJ McGinty's game is his pace. Without a shadow of a doubt, he is not an athletic man. He's a very good controller of the game. He's not athletic. He's also too injury prone as well, so they're going to need somebody to cover him.
Well, they have got two very good tens now,
And Jack Lloyd, and they've got some good youngsters coming through as well.
Jack Lloyd, brother of Johan,
because Johan is one jumping around a little bit, but obviously we mentioned Jack Lloyd. Johan is one; he's got to start fulfilling his potential.
Yeah, I feel he's stalled actually.
Yeah, he has got so much talent, but. He's a bit too flighty, indecisive, does some good things, but equally does some bad things.
Where would
things.
You draft him in? If Fantasy Rugby Draft is back, which I hope it is, where would you draft him?
I'm not sure he'll be playing that much, so
no,
very,
sure.
Very low down.
Same. Has he got Welsh cap yet? He has, hasn't he?
Yeah, pretty sure he has.
Well, someone else with international experience, Marcus Bradbury, has signed. He will... give some good carrying options from the back row to compete with Fitz Harding after his breakout year and Sam Jeffries after his England tour experience.
Now that is a good signing. That excites me.
Yeah.
That excites me. I think that is a better signing for Bristol. Not only is he a better player, but a better signing. He's physical, he carries hard. I think he will fit into the Bristol system well. And I tell you what, those guys who you mentioned there, Jeffries and Fitz Harding, have absolutely thrived.
And he mentions they've also picked up Morgan Eames, who is a BSB that can play 4, 5 and 6.
Now, he has come over from France, has he not?
I'm not sure, but well...
Yeah, he's come from Béziers.
That's it. Yeah, he's been enormous, actually.
Rich Lane had a trial and...
He's a fullback, isn't he?
And has signed on. He's a fullback. He looked good. James Williams comes in from the Championship.
Love James Williams. Can I just say, love James Williams. Do you know who James Williams is?
No.
James Williams had a stint at Sale.
Okay.
He's from Nottingham. He is not very big, but he's got lovely feet. Plays, you know, predominantly plays.
No, not in a that will get the YouTubers very excited. Not like that.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean manicured.
Tell you when he played two games at Sale. One was against La Rochelle.
Pedicured, sorry.
So, yeah, manicure, same. I think, I'm glad that he's been picked up because I think he's really, really good. Bristol fans should be encouraged to see him play, and I think he'd fit Bristol perfectly. Yeah, very good signing.
And look, suddenly I'm feeling better about Bristol's squad. They've got to be able to do the grunt in the front five. But their back three options, again, they had a lot of injuries last year, but Luke Morahan, Sir Charles, Henry Purdy, now Lango, Fricker, and now Gabriel Ibatoyi.
Yeah, who comes in from Tel Aviv Heat.
As well as England under-20s winger Diego Bailey. So this... They're looking exciting if they can, with AJ slotted in there. I think, and add,
if you get Johan Lloyd firing, add him in there in one of the positions. If you rekindle the spark between Piers O'Connor and Semi Randrandra, I'll let you decide which is the most important player.
Two good scrum halves, Ewan and Randall.
We have overlooked one thing. They need to get over the gain line. So Sinclair's out and Genge's out. What they're left with is a serviceable pack, but not a great pack. And if they're not over that gain line, I suspect their new big second row is a direct replacement for Dave Atwood. And in my mind...
And Joe Joyce.
Well, he hasn't gone yet. He goes at the end of the season.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, they need to get over the gain line. Atwood was very, very good at that. Chris Vuey is very, very good in that respect.
Lua-tua.
Yeah, they. If they're going forward, they're great. If they're not, they can be an absolute disaster, and that's what they've got to overcome. And if they're losing both their props, they've got a problem.
Yeah, they're going to lose both of their first choice props, and the problem is with Bristol is they put a lot of money in some very special players. What happens when Genge and Sinks are away? Do they are they?
Or what happens when Randrandra's got a knee injury for half the year?
Yeah.
Or Piatau's out for half the year?
I think it gets even more complex than Genge and Sinks being away. It's, if we take the Ben Darwin theory, which I love, 11 games is great for Sinclair if Sinclair's embedded in your team and is, sorry, Genge and Sinclair embedded in your team and they're playing really well together and have done for 3 years. But 11 games when it's a new combination is actually really quite tough. So if you're any new player, actually, only playing 11 games in a season, no matter how much you're paying them, is going to be difficult.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The flip side, thinking about it, just... Moneyball, trying to anticipate a moneyballing thing. Let's assume you have Genge and Sinclair available for those 11 Premiership games, and they're in good form and all the rest of it. They're the sort of characters that could win you 11 matches, even if they're not available for 12 other Premiership regular season games. They and AJ as well, and they've got enough. They've got quite a lot of difference makers that. Even if you had Genge available just for 11 games, he could help win you half of those, and that could make a difference at the end of the season.
What has happened to all of their hookers, by the way? So Thacker is obviously the one everyone talks about, but Brian Byrne came onto the scene and was absolutely brilliant for a little while.
Yeah.
And Will Capon.
Will Capon was pretty good for a little while.
Talking to the mic, mate.
Jake Kerr
was good for a little while. Are they all still... All still about.
I think they're all still there.
So Ed's email finishes with a point that's probably quite pertinent when you think about Bristol, because we're talking about all the talent that they do have. He just said, hopefully we've buried the PTSD from the Quinn semi-final, which is two seasons ago now.
I don't know.
They still haven't got over that from the end of the 2020-21 season.
I'm not sure, because I remember saying it at the time last season in our preview pods. I predicted they would win the whole thing last year because I thought they finished top of the table and were 28-0 up after 28 minutes in the semi-final. I thought it would push them in a positive direction, that loss. They would use that as a force for good, and they just did not. I could not have been more wrong about that. I'm not sure they're over it yet. I'm not sure. Whatever weaknesses and frailties within their squad, within their setup, within their culture that exposed, I'm not sure they've all been exercised yet.
Yeah. Well, let's just talk about their Soviet style kit. So have you seen the new kit?
I haven't.
Have you not seen it?
I have seen it.
So it's a little bit like a 90s football shirt, but that's a cool thing now, isn't it? 90s football shirts, so fine. And it's got graffiti all over it, effectively. And some of this graffiti is the word love. This is...
And the word Bristol.
Effectively Stalinist. So back in the day in Soviet Russia, the press would print deliberately false stories with deliberate lies in it. And this was a feature, not a bug. And it basically told the rest of the people who were thinking of opposing the state or the press that we can do and say whatever we want, and you're not powerful enough to question what we do. And this is exactly what Bristol have done. They've put love all over their shirt, and it's an absolute nonsense. In fact, be careful what you want, because you know
that one.
No.
Some might say you get into a situation where there's too much love.
See if I can find.
And sometimes that's just as destructive as not enough. So, it's ridiculous, actually. It is ridiculous, because...
They launched their kit on a hot air balloon.
They did. It was
a giant one at the Bristol Balloon Fiesta.
Yes.
So I'm looking at the kit now.
But you can't actually see. I'm trying to find a picture.
It looked good. I like the blue. It's got a kind of royal blue. Mm.
So I like the kit, I think, from a distance. So if you look at it just from... I'll turn my brightness up. If you look at it just from there,
It looks a really nice kit
because the detail, so it's kind of slightly lighter navy, not quite a royal blue, but a light navy with a dark navy motif of the graffiti that you mentioned, JB. But from a distance, it's just a nice kit. It looks lovely.
I like it. It's kind of got a French thing going on with the sleeves, the red and white.
Yeah, yeah, tricolore sleeves.
Quite like that.
Yeah. So I quite like it.
Habu?
No idea.
Their sponsor. That might tell us something about Bristol.
Logistics fulfillment service in Bristol.
Habu fulfillment. Okay.
Good.
Yes.
Well, look, I wish them all the best.
No, you don't. If Bristol started doing well, you'd have to end this anti-love, anti-patlam.
Bristol can do well.
Stick that you've got.
Bristol can do well because they're spending up to the salary cap and they've got a load of good players. You can do well with that. Whether they will or not, I don't know.
So predictions, because I'm
11th.
After predicting one last year and having my fingers burnt, I'm going just for pretty low. Where did they actually finish last season?
9th. Is what I'm saying.
10th they finished last season. So you're saying they're going to go one better. And for context, they were 12 points adrift of Wasps in 9th. They were also 13 points ahead of Worcester in 11th.
What do we say about London Irish? I think London Irish are better than Bristol.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I said 6th, you said 7th, and Phil said 8th. Or you said Phil said 7th and you said 8th, I can't remember.
Yeah, we were around that 6, 7,
around 6, 7, 8.
We should really write these down as we go.
Well, we'll have to, but they can change over the next couple of weeks.
We're going to write and put it in the North Dorset bowl. We're going to write our league prediction, only to be opened at the conclusion of the 22-23 season.
And yours isn't allowed to go walkies again.
I don't know where mine's gone. I'm upset about that.
You went in the wood chipper, I heard.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think Bristol are definitely going to improve on last year. And I think they could sneak top 6. I'm going to go around that 6th, 7th, similar to London Irish.
Problem is, I think everyone's going to finish 6th or 7th because of the nature of the league. I can see everyone's potential being there. That's why you've got to think about
Worcester and Newcastle and...
Worcester have got some good players.
They do.
A great DOR.
They've got a DOR.
A great DOR.
Yep.
They're going to have to pay £250,000 to Gloucester at some point this season.
Probably out of Steve Diamond's own back pocket.
No, one thing I do know about the whole fiasco was... It was all Steve Diamond who orchestrated it. but you will not be able to lay a finger on him.
Not at all.
No shred of evidence that Steve Diamond did anything wrong in that whole debacle.
Man knows how to follow laws.
he's got his Steve Diamond brand NDAs pre-drafted in his desk.
It's a file. Get the NDA file, we'll need one of them.
So, my prediction is...
Yeah.
I think you're right. They're all going to go one better than last year. I think they're going to finish in ninth, but that's only because I'm so concerned about what's happening with Wasps, and Wasps are going to fall below them.
Can I just go back to Steve Diamond for a bit?
Of course.
We were in North Dorset Sevens, and someone told me one of the things that the podcast has really brought home to him is how many great characters are in rugby, and how he wouldn't know about Steve Diamond if it wasn't for us. I was like, yes, that's right. Loads of characters.
The game is richer for having a man like Steve 100%, Diamond in it.
100%. The fact that not enough people know about him is a joke.
Just as the game is richer for having Bath Dior,
Stuart Hooper
in,
Pat Lamb.
And Pat Lamb, yeah, the game is richer. We need the diverse tapestry of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Of all of these characters.
Dean Richards, we don't have him anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Why has he left, is he?
Well, I don't know. Again, we'll get onto Newcastle in a future episode and we can find out exactly what's going on. But the final paragraph from Ed on the email, he said, the first paragraph was largely in jest. That was him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we enjoyed it. And he said, and there's a CrossFit box behind Ashton Gate.
What?
If you're down and have some non-Negroni spare time.
I never have any Negroni spare time, but
a Premiership rugby side with a CrossFit box round the corner from the ground.
Am I allowed to tell you who's working out in my CrossFit box at the moment?
You can do.
Well, previously, our most famous CrossFitter in our box was Karen Bardsley, the Manchester City and England women's goalkeeper.
Okay,
just retired. Terrible time to retire, actually, from women's football. She's been slightly superseded last week by Tommy Fury.
Really?
Yeah, so
No way!
Tommy Fury's in our box.
Is he chatty?
He seems like a nice guy.
Does he have an entourage?
Well, I think he's a bit nervous. First time working out with me. it's a big deal for him. But yeah, he comes.
Did you fist bump at the end of the workout?
Of course.
Yeah.
Give him a sweaty topless hug.
Did he wear camo?
No, he didn't. He was very well kitted out though.
Very thin legs?
No, he's in great shape.
Oh no, he's clearly in great shape.
No, but I know what you're saying. Boxer's legs. Yeah. He's just in good shape, and he comes with a guy who plays rugby league for Salford. But I don't know who he is.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So. And how did he get on in the workout? Is he any good?
Decent. Reasonable. He's got some way to go. He's not. I wouldn't say, for a pro athlete. He's got some.
I bet he does proper pull-ups, not those ridiculous kipping pull-ups.
Well, then they're not proper pull-ups.
So on CrossFit very briefly. So the CrossFit Games was on, and I went and looked at the workouts and the events on YouTube, and I just thought I had my head in my hands a little bit on the first one because I just went, oh my god. If I tried to sell CrossFit, and we mention it a lot on the pod, people might go. We might have some people that listen that go, "Oh, do you know what? I'll watch the CrossFit Games." The first thing they would have seen, event one, the first thing they would have seen is a load of people doing those not pull-ups.
They are pull-ups,
kipping pull-ups.
They're just a different, pull-up. They're just a different movement.
They look ridiculous and they rip your rotator cuff to shreds.
That's not true.
So they were doing kipping pull-ups with a bike helmet on.
Why? What?
Because after the pull-ups, they went off to cycle.
Oh god!
But it just looked ridiculous.
I don't think I might be wrong. I'm not a CrossFitter, but yes. I don't think cycling should be part of CrossFit.
No, I don't either.
On an actual bike
or swimming
or an air bike. What's it called?
Yeah,
an assault bike.
Yeah.
They had one event where they were swimming double lengths of the pool and then hopping out and getting on a ski erg that was at the end of their lane.
That is a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, that is really. I have no time for that. If you can't get it in your box, you can't use it in.
I mean, if you're doing swimming and cycling, you might as well have like a rugby passing competition. You might even open it up to have some billiards.
It's also kind of disrespectful to swimming, isn't it? which is a proper technical sport.
Yeah,
you can't just jump in a pool and be fast.
I think that is ridiculous.
Yeah,
it should be weights, and the most complex thing outside of a gym should be running.
I suppose the issue is it is not that interesting just to watch people doing thrusters with a barbell.
Absolutely not.
I love it.
And then
it's amazing
jumps.
To watch.
A bit of running I can get on with, and then some rope climbs,
climbing,
that kind of thing.
I mean, the classic sort of lifting and then pull-ups and then something else. I think that's what you want to see. You want to see mixture between cardio, weightlifting and gymnastics. That's what it is. Not swimming.
Swimming and cycling.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Do you see the sandbags?
Yes, that was wicked.
That was incredible.
That was wicked. So it was basically like, you know how you would have World's Strongest Man, max deadlift or whatever. Mm-hmm. You had to get a sandbag from the floor to your shoulder, and they went up in 10 or 20 kilo increments.
Oh.
And they got up to, they had to make a new bag, because the top bag they had was 340 kilos.
Oof.
And they had to go up to, was that pounds?
I'm sure it's 350.
No, it must be pounds.
Pounds.
And they had to obviously cut open a 340 one, put more weight in it, and
stitch it back up. Wow.
Because they had to get a 350 one out.
And then if you go out on the same time, so if you and I both can't do 340, say, so we're both out, we then have to go into a playoff and lift sandbags over a bar, like in Strongman.
The Atlas. Have you seen the Atlas Stone head to head tiebreaker
exactly
that they do?
It's exactly the same.
That is brutal. The Atlas Stone is such a good event in World's Strongest Man.
I know. Those are the events which are cool. That's what we want to see.
Two favourite from World's Strongest Man: the Atlas Stones, and as a related event, the Atlas Stone head to head, but also the keg toss over a bar is so good.
That's very technical, though.
There's a lot of power.
But you get your angles wrong.
Your angles wrong is pretty dangerous.
Game over.
But there's also a little bit of strategy to it, because the kegs get heavier, I think. Or in some of the variants, the kegs get heavier. So if you use too much effort in the earlier ones and clear the bar by 5 metres, you're burning a load of extra energy.
So you see
guys who clear the bar by 5 metres and 4 metres and 3 metres, and then they just can't get the last one over. So there's a little bit of technical strategy to it.
I tell you, the one which is a nice mixture is the Rogue Invitational. So Rogue are the people that make all the bits. It's kind of CrossFitty, but it's a little bit different. It's a little bit more... the events are a bit more unusual. Anyway, enough of this now.
That is too much CrossFit.
Yeah.
There's not enough of anything.
Bristol Bears. So Phil said 9th. I've said 6th, mate, 6th or 7th. And you're saying, JB...
6th or 7th, 9th.
I think they could spring a little surprise, but we'll see.
They've got enough talent to do it. I'm just not sure they will.
Good luck, Bristol.
Yeah, good luck, Ed. I hope you enjoy it.
Arca Ela.
Go well.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never-ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.